Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like the state legislature put money aside or something to give them a 15% raise, and a lot of the districts are like, nope. Thanks for the free money.
What?
Not a good look. Wow, this thing is hopelessly tangled. I don't mean to hold you guys up, but...
No, this is gold. Pre-intro gold. Pre-intro. Right here.
Jumping jacks, moving around, and...
I don't think we got all that stuff.
Maybe skip the jumping jacks?
I got them in, just the mics weren't on yet.
You got to get them in, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Ted, how you feeling? You feel good? You look good.
Yeah, I'm all right. Sometimes you just put your foot in your mouth.
That's true.
Yeah, even for me.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast, but this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast starring the Ted... Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha! The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
Woo! The podcast, episode 232. What's up? It's your boy, the Ted Smith. I'll be hosting this here podcast, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
To the left of me is my, well, we used to be burner buddies, but neither of us have been back, even though it just ended. He's always here unless he's somewhere in Southeast Asia on two wheels. He goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Shout out to the burn. European markets tumbled this morning amidst talks of Brexit and possible trade wars with China. Shares the podcast retreating in today's trading from all-time summer highs as analysts from Goldman, Merrill, and Deutsche Bank downgraded shares from buy to hold as the boys begin to prepare for hoodie and dip season. Will MCTP finally wear sleeves? Will Cobb return to the Lone Star State? We'll find out at 6:30.
Nice. All right, back there on the wheels of steel, getting the whole studio set up. Matt Comer, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted.
How you doing, man?
Pretty great.
Good.
Yeah, I feel good. No traffic, great weather, love September. It's an underrated part of summer.
Yeah, I mean, is it, like, I feel like a lot of people are torn right now. Are you getting, I'm kind of fired up for fall. Like, it's a little bit chillier. There's college football, but then people are like, well, summer's ended.
Honestly, in my opinion, September is the great month of the Northwest.
Thank you.
I feel like most of the focus goes on July and August. August, there's a lot of events. The nice thing about September is there's not so many events. It's still nice outside. It's beautiful. It's clear. It's fresh. It's bright. Typically pretty warm. But then also, you got college football. You got fall soccer. You got, like, it's more of a choose-your-own-adventure of events. You got great stuff around the corner with, obviously, Halloween, I love, Thanksgiving, Christmas. September, I think, could be the best month in the Northwest. I've always said August, but when you really think about it, you know, kids are back to school, so you got to slow down in those zones. That's the only way that affects me. But, you know, September's good, man.
Well, and, I mean, University of Washington, like, you're just not going to find much more of a beautiful setting. On Lake Washington, like, it's September, like, because you're right, because you get in those October games, you're getting pissed and rain all day.
Yeah, dude, we got the Hawks, the Dogs going, like, there's still some, you know, some Sounders going on. Like, September's got it all.
I forgot a Fire Crisp apple for us.
Fire Crisp?
Fire Crisp.
Is that new?
Limited supply. New from, you got to get it on the streets. I've never seen it in stores. Farmer's market.
On the streets.
Yeah.
Damn, dude. Is that one of the Wazoo apples? I know they've been developing a bunch.
I had one of the Wazoo ones this summer.
What was it called? Do you know? I know they developed
it was like
a couple
two letters
varieties.
And then 38. Like he, I don't think it had an official like name yet.
NZT 28? What do
yeah.
you
Yeah. Seriously, dude.
Dude, I love it.
Maybe, yeah.
Dude, I need a new guy, man.
Yeah.
Well, Taryn's cousin.
Oh, dude, Fred's not getting it done anymore, man. Fred Meyer,
cousin
you're done.
Is a buyer for Costco that deals with the apples.
Oh,
so that's
snap.
Why last time I saw him, he was like, dude, I got this this one's like not even on the street yet.
Fresh off the, dude, wow.
Yeah.
That's the thing, man. That's what you need. I mean, I got a pretty good produce girl down at Pike Place, but it's not the same. And like, yeah, I don't know. I know Yuda or Wazoo like 5 years ago started on a bunch of apple varieties. But the thing with those is like, so now they try to do them all as the dwarf variety. Dwarfs are super dwarfs. And so the dwarfs, you can pick them from the ground. That's why they do them. So,
all right.
Because they used to drive those El Caminos. That's why like highest number of El Caminos per capita was in Yakima, I believe, in the country. Because you can drive the El Caminos through the apple orchards and stand in the back and pick apples and fill up the truck. Well, the car, truck, car. I don't know.
I mean, it's a car truck.
Yeah.
I feel like a truck has to be taller, but it does have a pickup in the back.
That's the thing. So anyway, yeah, so they're breeding with the dwarfs, and those take like a little longer to, you know, it takes a while to get the apple you want and then to also breed it with the dwarf and then like to get there. So it's a process, but I believe they should be coming online pretty soon. If not now, that might be. Those
it could be. I don't know where
Wazoo.
Exactly. I just, the guy kind of said that their orchard, he's like, it's in the Honeycrisp family. It's a new variety. I was like, I feel like I'm in the weed game. Like,
right?
And it's like, yeah, like purple glue or something. Like, oh, okay, purple haze and gorilla glue. And it, someone figured that out. Cool. I don't know where the fire comes from. Maybe it's just like, yo, this is fire, dog. And then crisp. But yeah, it is indeed fire.
So was it more of like a awesome. Couch apple or like a, you know, active apple?
Well, right, is it a sativa or an indica? Can we get up and move around after we eat this?
It's funny. I had it on a couch, but I felt great. It felt lively after. I could have gone and done some stuff.
Okay. More of a sativa type scenario?
Yeah, I'd say so.
One of our mutual friends also said that he is over the Honeycrisp.
Yep, ooh. I can understand that.
All right.
I can definitely understand all right. that argument.
Here's the thing.
When I'm over the prices.
All right, I'll hear the price argument, but our friend was merely saying he just like, that's all everybody eats. He's tired of it.
How many apples is this dude eating from other people?
And could you write their name down?
Oh.
Yeah, who is this a-hole?
Well, no, it's Bill. Bill's fine with it.
Okay, come on, man. Bill.
Oh,
he was just,
Bill.
We were hanging out.
Hey.
Right, I said, dude, don't come say that on. About Honeycrisp around me. Like, this is a serious deal.
Bill, damn it, that's not, you're mad at the apple. That's, you're mad at yourself at that point. Honeycrisp is a good damn apple. It's top of the breed. I'm not going to say best in breed, but it's up there.
Here's the thing. When they first came out, they were only available when they were in season. Then they
correct.
Got popular, and now people are eating them in April and stuff. And it's like, dude, those are from, yeah. It's,
from New Zealand.
Right. So it's not the same as when you get them this time of year and they're in season. A lot of times because they're in season, they're also on sale because they have enough amount to, they have a surplus because, yeah, it's fall. This okay. is Honeycrisp season. That's why I'm fired up.
Let me ask you this, though. If they sold birthday cake donuts year round, would you like them less?
Yes.
Probably. But I also don't.
Okay, then, you know, Bill's got a point.
Yeah. I
mean, you're right, because they are around all year. But I still feel like, I don't know. Maybe I do eat them in the, I feel like I eat them more in the fall and like.
Because that's when they're the best.
Yeah.
You're smart.
Well, they do taste better in the fall too. Like once something's been either in cold storage and had that wax on the outside, or it has to come from New Zealand, like it's just not going to be as fresh. I'm sorry. They're the best in the fall for sure.
Right.
We have some coming off our tree at the house right now, as a matter of fact.
You got a Honeycrisp tree in your house?
Dude, we've talked about the tree that my parents have in their yard. There's 8 varieties of apples on there.
What?
One branch is Honeycrisp.
What?
That's right, because your dad made them.
A branch is Jazz. Another branch is Fuji's.
What do you say is the top?
Pink Lady on there. What did I say is the top apple coming off that tree? Or
well, just in general. You said you don't want to give Honeycrisp the crown.
Well, I don't think it's like an undisputed across the board favorite. Personally, Honeycrisp is my top dog, but there is an issue with the price. I like the sweet. A lot of people don't. A lot of people like a more tart apple or more hearty apple, like a Braeburn, for instance. Like, not super. I mean, those are still pretty sweet, but like some people get like tart, like Granny Smith.
Well,
which,
see, that's what's
give
weird.
Me a break.
Really?
You're Granny Smith? You would just eat one of those just like it's something to do?
Until the Honeycrisp came out, I almost exclusively ate Granny Smith's.
Well, that's because you're from the East Coast. They eat like red apples over there. I mean, it was laughable in the BC cafeteria.
Yeah, the red apples are like, just the standard one is gross.
Yeah, they're made for like table ornaments. But or applesauce, but that's the thing, man. It's like, actually, I don't know if they use them for applesauce. Don't quote me on that. But that's the thing is like over there, they just would have them like you're supposed to just buy them and eat them. And it's like, it's laughable.
Man, yeah.
That's why I was like the Granny Smiths, because they had crunch to them. That's why when the Honeycrisp came out, it just blew my mind.
That's a pie apple, my man. That's a pie apple. Oh, so you like the crispiness?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Those are way too crispy and tart for me.
And it is kind of weird that my two favorite apples are either the sweetest one you can buy or the tartest one you can buy.
Yeah.
It's the crisp factor.
No middle ground.
That's what they have. That is the middle ground. It's the crisp.
It's the crispness.
I'm with him.
Gotta have
those red
snap.
Ones are the worst because they're always like soggy and disgusting in the middle.
Dude, then that makes sense that you would never like apples in February because when they have the wax, they've been in cold storage, like they just don't have that same snap, you know? They like have a little bit more of like a... Like a little squish almost.
I usually don't eat apples out of season, even though they're always there. Now that I coach nutrition and I encourage eating local seasonal stuff, like I'm even more conscious of it. But I was just realizing that, like, yeah, I've been getting stoked about September and October for Honeycrisp season for like 6 years. And that's the only time I eat apples.
Let me ask you this. What's in season at like the end of January?
Beets, potatoes, like root vegetables.
Potatoes?
That's what, like, I just go to the farmer's market now that I live in Ballard. Now it's super easy, but that, and like make a lot of stews. It's eating fruit. I usually eat frozen fruit in those months. You can get the, like, local berries, and I put that in yogurt.
Wait. Huh. All right, because that's kind of my question. How is frozen
different than out of season?
Well, it was picked at its peak and then flash frozen.
But isn't that the same as like buying it at the store?
Thank you.
I just like it. I just think it tastes better because you're getting like bigger berries and they don't look as sad as the ones in the produce section in January.
I see what you're
saying.
What's
the farm?
I see what you're saying.
Hemlinger Farm, they sell it at
TLC. Frozen ones from around here versus
they're like local
fresh ones
and
that
they
are
were picked at season and then frozen. PCC has really good blueberries year-round frozen.
Hmm. See, I would assume you would be a California produce guy.
I'm not opposed to it, but yeah, I just kind of, now, like I said, now I live in Ballard. Like it just kind of lined up with when I got certified in nutrition, and so it's super easy to just go to the farmer's market and what they have is what's in season, but make a lot of stews then. That's crock pot season.
Ted?
What, winter vegetables?
I mean, just like, yeah, what's your vegetable schedule? I feel like I just kind of eat whatever.
Yeah, I probably will think about it more this year than I have. So I don't know that I have the best answers. Like, right, like, I eat a lot of frozen vegetables.
Yeah,
I just
me
like,
too.
Like the broccoli florets. So.
Yeah, those are super easy.
I don't know when they're
picked
in season.
At peak freshness and frozen right there on site and then shipped frozen. So, like, yeah.
You can make it in a wok.
Frozen fruits and vegetables are really convenient and I think underrated.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, too, people like get stuck in the like minutiae of certain things. Like, I have friends that stay away from certain fruits because they have too much sugar, but they're also, like, super strict about, like, their fitness and what they're eating. Whereas, like, for somebody like me, like, you know, I'm going to use Matt's line here, but it's like, right, like, you don't get fat because you ate too many bananas. You know what I mean?
Never
like,
happens.
It's true.
Right?
Oh, like, you can't get constipated.
With bananas?
You're talking to a guy who has never had two bananas in the same day since I was, like, 6 years old. There's
Are
a horror
serious?
Story that we don't need to go into. One banana per day, max.
Interesting.
It's a hard max.
Oh, man.
Everybody's different. Got to experiment.
I could eat multiple nanners in a day.
No.
Yeah. Like, I had one. I've had two today, and I'll probably have one tonight.
Those are my goats.
You're crazy for this one, man.
Yeah. I know some people have so much sugar in that banana. Like, yeah, that's the issue.
The banana king, man. Yeah, well, the nice thing is, like, when you have sugar in a fruit or vegetable, at least there's some fiber with it, you know?
Right, like
and
when you
water.
Eat the apple, right?
Yeah.
Like, the fiber in the peel or whatever, like, helps you break it down and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's most fruits and vegetables, it's just fiber and water and then however much sugar. But, yeah, it's not something that I'm very concerned about with most people.
Somebody was talking about having weird dreams, and I was like, man, I had a dream last night. I was eating ice cream. One of those Toll House cookies?
Dude, I've been having some weird dreams lately. Like, weird positive, but very bizarre.
Yeah, well, when I woke up, I was kind of happy I wasn't eating it.
Dude, okay, let me ask you this, man.
Like, should be eating ice cream sandwiches in the middle of the night.
If you have like a super real dream where you're like trying to do something or whatever and it seems super real and intense, and then you wake up, does that make you question our reality more?
Because
it certainly does for me.
I definitely have that happen sometimes. And like the dream's so realistic and you're having a conversation with somebody and then you wake up and it's either good or relief. Like for me, waking up and not eating that ice cream was kind of a relief because the dream was so intense. I mean, I know that's kind of a silly thing, but I mean, the dream was so intense. Like, and it was like, even in the dream as I was eating it, it was like, it's Monday. Like you shouldn't be eating this, blah, blah, blah.
That's what I'm saying. Like you can hear your own internal voice and like there's dynamics there that seem so real. It makes me think about like how that all happens in like an hour. But let's say like, you know, that this was a dream world or a simulation or whatever. Like it's just a stretched out timeline. It's like in your dream, when you think of something like, oh, I hope there's not a vampire behind that door. Like there's going to be a vampire behind the door. I just wonder like how much of that carries over into our lives, how much we're creating as we're perceiving this reality. And like, I don't know, man, intense dreams always make me think of that where I'm like, damn, I'm pretty sure that this bitch isn't real.
I play the game like that's what's going on all the time.
Really?
So it's like, why not? Yeah. It's so tough to know and to yeah, it's like how the point of it being the most realistic dream imaginable is you wouldn't know that it was a dream. And so, yeah, just the simulation theories and just what is this whole thing? I just trip out about it all the time. And it's fun to think about. I don't have any answers. I'm skeptical of people that claim to.
Yeah, I mean, there's like, a lot of people. I mean, there's a decent amount of people that think it's all a simulation.
I'm open to that idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it is strange sometimes. I mean, half the times when I have some of those dreams, I am so happy that I did not have that conversation
with
those people.
Dude, yes. Or like,
right?
Do that, like perform act or whatever. Yeah.
Because the subconscious to me is kind of like what, you know what I mean? Like the...
Mm-hmm.
In everyday life, you have to kind of act a certain way, right? You can't be completely honest with people all the time. And ironically. There's certain conversations inside of us that I think a lot of us would like to have with people, whether it's family, friends, coworkers, but you're not going to have them, right? So sometimes when you have that dream and you do have it, then waking up like, oh, thank God, I didn't actually say that.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's a lot of commentary to make on that, but I'm with you. I mean, ultimately, I think, yeah, it is nice. It often is a relief, like, that what you do in your dreams is not real. One thing I heard, though, is that when you're going about your day, you're acting as your perception of someone's perception of you, i.e., like, you're behaving in the way that you expect the other person to expect you to behave. And so, like, because we're all, like, you know, we have mirror neurons and we're, like, all living up to people's expectations and dealing with them, whatever. Like, there's a certain box or like canon we try to stay within around people who expect us to be a certain way. And it's sort of like this weird limiting belief we have to not be like too unpredictable and whatever. But anyway, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's interesting to think about.
I was
listening to a thing about this morning while I was running.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes people just naturally do that.
Do
and
what?
It's hard. Like, I mean, that's what's tough with families, right? No matter how old you get, when you go back to a family, like, generally, people are going to go right back to those roles.
Dude, totally.
So
that's exactly what I mean.
The oldest sibling thinks they have to be the oldest sibling, like, this and that. And it's tough for people. Like, that's why, seriously, a lot of people have trouble with their family. Because you go back to that. And trust me, I fall into that trap, too. Like, I got to be careful.
It's the same way with groups of friends. That's what, my college friends each year, like, we go and meet up. And, like, for the first, like, hour or so, you know, everyone's kind of whoever they are in the regular world. And, like, you sort of slowly, like, go back into whatever roles you were within the group. It's very interesting. I was thinking about that.
Yeah, it's soon. Yeah. I was talking about my closest group of friends in high school, which I was kind of a drifter. Like, I was friends with a lot of different groups. This was, like, the closest thing to being a part of it. But when we all hang out, and it's just like the old times, like it just, you know, reverts into the same ball busting and jokes and, you know, war story and about the old days, and it's just super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have certain friends that I hang out with now as adults, and we don't fall into that as much. But it's like if it's a group of friends that I haven't seen in forever, like you don't blame them. Like they don't know. They don't know how you've changed or grown or whatever.
And vice versa.
Right, right. You don't know what they've done. God damn it. Yeah. You don't know what they've done either. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's very hard. You just naturally think that person's still going to be the same way.
Yeah, and you almost go back to a time when you had a strong bond in order to sort of like re-engage that bond. Like I've noticed like there's a healthy mixture when you meet up with a group of friends of like telling like stories of old times, likely ones that you've relived already together, and like, oh, that was a wild time, whatever. And then like, you know, some percentage of it is like catch up on new life stuff. And then like when people feel uncomfortable in the group, they'll typically revert back to a shared happy memory that they all like share and will tell a story about it or bring it up or something in order to feel closer. It's like almost a subconscious thing that I've just sort of observed in having many groups of friends that see each other only like once or twice a year. It's a, yeah, it's an interesting little phenomena. Phenomenon?
Phenomenon?
Is phenomena plural and phenomenon is singular?
Yes.
Then it's an interesting little phenomenon. Phenomenon.
Right. So we were talking about boats before the before we started this.
And hose?
Boats and hose.
We were talking boats.
So our buddy, well, our friends Jesse and Jamie, they live on a sailboat. Mm-hmm. And then their parents rented a Bayliner. Now, a Bayliner, I was not positive. I did not know the term for this boat, but it's like, it's not a yacht, but it's got like
it's a bridge boat.
What does that mean?
A bridge boat, I believe, refers to, oh man, okay, wealth of misinformation, but I believe that, you know that little upstairs area that you went in?
Yeah.
I believe that is the bridge, making it a bridge boat, a boat with a bridge.
All right, so like the inside has like two bedrooms, and then it's got like a living room, right? Then there's a nice back deck, and then, right, there's this top plate, I guess the bridge, where you can drive from up there too. But the boat was awesome. Cobb can attest, he was with me. Like, yeah, I was very excited, and I'm like, we need to rent this. Like, not to drive it on the water.
The guy wouldn't shut up about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned renting it about six times. He was in there scouting. Like, he's like, oh, they got a microwave in here. Like, could I do a crock pot in here? Like, yes, yeah. You can do your meatballs. Like, we could grill almost anywhere in here, Cobb. Cobb, would you check out the top? Cobb, I could mount a TV up here. Games. Think about it. Like, yes, dude. God damn it. I get it. He's like, would you go halves with me?
Yeah. See if you want to go halves on it. We're walking off the dock, and I go, Jesse, Cobb's talking about going halves on this. Like, no, he's not. Like, you are. Anyhow, like I was like, man, this boat is awesome. I would love to party on this thing. I don't know why I have a weird obsession with being on a boat while it's kind of like an October day, kind of rainy, but watching college football.
Dude, that's what I'm telling you, man. If we rent it, we get Jesse to pilot it and we sailgate. That's the move. That's how you get me in.
All right. We got
it's like the same thing you're talking about, but outside of UW Stadium. Then we are officially sailgaters.
Yeah. Weren't you talking about sailgating a long time ago?
All the time. He's never been.
But you had a close chance, right?
I did, but I didn't take it up on it. What about, wait, is this the year? Do we got to call in sailgating friends?
Dude, I mean, look, I got a friend who sailgates, you know? Like we can.
Well, it's Bob, right? I got to swim out to his boat, though, don't I?
Look, man, we can swim out to the boat if we have to. Look, I got a paddleboard. Maybe we use that to get out there. I don't know, but we got to get you out.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
I've only been once, and it was awesome. All we did, dude, so we're on a boat. There's like six of us. I think it's like four guys, two girls, right? We pull up, and it's just like, okay, cool. We're going to kind of drink some beers, whatever. No, not on Bob's boat. He releases these two giant rafts off the back that are called Aqua. Oh, man. They're like inflatable docks. Like, you could stand and do jumping jacks on these things. They're like... oh, man, I can't think of the name of them. They're, like, ridiculously expensive. He got them at auction. Anyway, and then he pulls up hot on the speedboat. All chicks, one driver. All chicks in bikinis, one driver. He goes, oh, this is my friend. Yo, what's up, Ben? And he's like, what's up, man? Tie up with me. I'm like, yes. Immediately, we start, like, playing. Ted, these are the things that happen when you're sailgating. You're looking at me like I'm crazy, but this is how it goes down out there. So we pull up. Obviously, we're drinking beers, having fun, playing flip cup. The girls in the bikinis are laughing, enjoying. All my jokes are funnier because I'm on a boat.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm looking a little taller because I'm on a boat. Looking a little more handsome.
Somehow you're richer.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, it's just, you know. And then, obviously, slowly the sun, you know, goes down and it all evaporates and you're left alone at the end of the night. But you get the idea.
It's like meltdown.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You're out there chasing vapor and smoke, man. Yeah. So, dude, I think that's how we do it. But we can't end up like that billionaire.
All right. So what is the story with this? Did that girl kill herself?
Well, I don't think so. I think there's some foul play. So here's what we know. What we know is that a 20-year-old Instagram model from Australia was found dead on the swim step, the back of a 90-meter boat. Think about that for a second. Not a 90-foot boat, a 90-meter boat. This thing's a floating city. Full staff, crew. Apparently, she's been on it for 3 months. Owned by a Mexican billionaire. The billionaire was not on the boat. She gets discovered. They fly her to the hospital. She dies on the way. She's 20 years old, smoking hot, as you might expect.
295 feet.
Jesus. That's a big, I mean, that's a yacht.
Yeah.
It's no boat. It's a yacht. So you still get on that thing, we're all getting laid.
No kidding.
Twice. So the thing is, they flew her to the hospital. The coroner, they haven't gotten the toxicology report back, but the coroner said there are rope marks around her neck. Now, I would be interested to hear your guys' theory of how those got there. They think, though, that she was hanged to death. But there are other ways that a rope mark, I feel like, could get around a female's neck on a billionaire's boat in the Mediterranean.
I gotta say, though, if there was a mistake in some kind of sexual play and you killed her, but then, like, I don't get why it's on the she's on the back of the boat.
Well, she wasn't dead when they got her with the helicopter. She was almost dead. That's the other crazy part.
Who found her then?
That I don't know. I think, like, maybe they called the helicopter to the yacht people, the boat. Yeah,
the people on the boat were like, hey.
Technically, they're saying she worked on the yacht. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
What that means, but.
Huh. Yeah, if the people on the boat called the authorities.
I don't know that.
Okay. That would be a part of the story I would like to know.
I mean, I would love to believe that there's a level of wealth where you just have 20-year-old concubines on your mega yacht.
That's what I would think it is.
That was my initial inclination. I don't know. I mean, I don't know this girl or her family, but.
Right. I just don't know how, like, if it was foul play, if they killed her, I feel like they would just dump the body.
Yeah, I didn't. Right. That sounds harsh, but that's exactly what I was thinking.
Is that the move?
If you think you killed somebody on a boat, that's like the best move,
well,
isn't it?
I don't know, because here's the thing. Like, sharks. Depending on if the country you're from is down with extradition, if you're a billionaire in Mexico, like, one, the billionaire wasn't on the yacht, which, who knows, maybe he wasn't. But
chop her out.
I feel like
there.
If you're a billionaire, yeah, you chop her out under cover of darkness. Maybe you turn in the body, you know, and then you just go back to you just never revisit that country where they have warrants out for you. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a certain level of money where you got some options that the everyman maybe does not have. So I don't know that dumping the body is necessarily the move.
Huh. I don't know. That's a strange one. Honestly, when I first saw the headline, I just thought she had killed herself. But I didn't realize she's lame. Like, there's no way you could. I don't think you could hang yourself and then end up on the back of the boat, right?
Yeah, that's true. Doesn't look good. Unless she hanged herself and then they pulled her down and, like, brought her out, like, oh, this girl's
she just stumbled
choking,
out
whatever.
There,
and
yeah.
Not stumbled. I'm saying, like, she's, like, passed out.
They brought her out there.
Yeah. But, oh, I mean, I wonder, too, like, well, if Joe gets here, he might know the legality on this, but if it's, like, where the port of call was, where you left from, or whose waters you're in when it happens, or what. And, like, if they're in international waters, is it really a crime? You know, and, like, I don't know.
Interesting. When did all this happen?
See, Ted, if we were boat guys, we could do this kind of stuff.
I don't know if I want to go this deep.
Without the boat.
screw splitting it up for a weekend.
Yeah.
Let's buy it.
Buying it. 10-hour boat guys. Now, there's two bedrooms, man.
There is.
Which one do you want?
You know, I don't know. I think whoever pays more gets the bigger one.
That's fine. I'll take anything.
All right. I did, like, the brother basically took, like, the bigger bedroom, but didn't. I don't think he told his parents. And then when he left, they were like, oh, man, this one's bigger.
Yeah. Wait, dude, you were saying Bernie got a boat?
Yeah. So my buddy Bernie, he's got a pontoon boat, right, for Deep Creek Lake in Maryland. So
Deep Creek Lake.
Yeah.
That's a misleading name.
Deep Creek Lake? It's the deepest lake in Maryland.
Okay, so it is, like, a standing lake?
Yeah. I mean, they drain it. Like, it's in the wintertime, you know, the water level's much lower. But I want to say it's like a man-made, like a couple things get into it, and it's like the deepest man-made lake in Maryland. But it's awesome, right? So Bernie's family for years always had a place up there, right? So we would go up there. Dude, I'll tell you what, this will sound how old I am. We used to go to a place called the Arrowhead, and you could drive your pontoon boat and park it there. And that was one of the first places I ever saw that had rotisserie chickens, and we thought they were just awesome. So now that Bernie... you know, now Bernie's got his own family and stuff. They go up there, and he bought a pontoon boat. But the funny thing was, the pontoon boat the Granzos used to have had no furniture on it. It was just the driving stand. So we used to joke it was the fastest boat on the lake. Now he's got, like, a luxurious, like, nice one. And I'm sure it's not as fast, but
well, did you guys bring furniture on it? Like,
yeah, we would just bring like plastic chairs.
That feels like the move. Like, I'm not a boat guy. That feels like the boat that I end up on.
Yeah, and you, dude, you would love it. I mean, it was just the steering column, and then simple. You just bring plastic chairs on there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. No, not stoic. What's that word? Utilitarian. You know, everything you need, nothing you don't.
Right. What's it like? The minimum amount of maximum effort.
What? What's that? I don't know. Sounds cool though.
You know, like sometimes your workouts or whatever, just like quick bursts instead of like,
mm-hmm.
Instead of going for like a huge long run, it's like quick bursts of spurts of energy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Did Osiris teach you that? I shouldn't have even said his name.
I know.
I don't want I don't want that chicken to come home to roost.
Trust me, it's probably
about me.
I mean, I got my nutrition coach sitting right here, but I got to check in with him on Thursday. That's why I'm having nightmares about eating ice cream in the middle of the night. If you say his name three times, he shows up.
Dude, that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, and he's coming back from a giant competition.
It's like, I don't think you're making it any better making it a whole thing every time you say his name.
Well,
Dude,
we walked past the gym and Ted wouldn't even look that way. Honestly, neither did I. And the question really is, who's going to get me first? Juicy J or the man who will not be named?
I feel like Juicy J has a closer proximity to you.
The man's gym is like four blocks away.
Yeah.
Hey, where's does Juicy J live closer than
location?
That? No, he's a Spokane dude.
Oh, why'd you say he has a closer proximity?
I just feel like there's a better chance of him showing up in the studio than the other guy.
I don't love this.
Yeah,
We know it can get back to Juicy J somehow.
Yeah, and it
will.
Dude,
the thing is, I look like I can fight. I cannot. That's what saved me many times.
Yeah.
You look like if you did know how to fight, I'd be in trouble, and that's probably not a risk I'd be willing to take.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Honestly, like in water polo, I was not that good, but they would always put their best person on me because I look like I'd be really good at water polo. Yeah. With basketball. I'm terrible at basketball, but I look like I can play.
Yeah.
I do know you whipped one of our buddies in racquetball, and you're like, oh, I've never played this before.
I mean,
that's a little disheartening.
Yeah, well.
We got some emails.
Yeah.
By the way, I should mention, did we talk about Pain in the Grass was awesome.
Yeah,
Yeah, man, we were off last week. Great time.
Dude.
The happy hour and a half was great. Plus, that was just a great lineup, man.
Yeah, sorry I wasn't at the happy hour and a half. Josh showed up and we were just wandering around.
No worries.
Yeah, I had an awesome time there. It was just a ton of people that I met throughout the years I got to see, and then a bunch of new people that recognized who I was, and that was a total trip. But I'd say the highlight was definitely Migs playing drums with SCP. That was the coolest thing. And yeah, I was up on the top of the lawn for that with Taryn and Josh and Tyler and Brad. And so like we all went to Meltdown with this guy a couple weeks ago, and now he's on stage and we're like at the very top seeing the whole crowd just lose their shit to it. And it was...
That's so tight.
It was so awesome. Yeah, so I was super pumped for him. And Glenn was up there, too. So, yeah. Alice in Chains killed it.
Alice in Chains was good. Cobb, did I tell you the Gavin Rossdale story?
No.
So we interview Gavin Rossdale, right? And he's real nice. And then, we walk back behind this curtain. And Matt Hayward, who takes great pictures, right? One of our official photographers, he's taking pictures of him. And he just goes, hey, Ted. And I go, no problem. And I walk over to Gavin. Like, we start posing, taking pictures. Then as Gavin walks off, Matt's kind of looking at his camera, flipping through the pictures. And he goes, you know, Ted, I was kind of asking you to get out of the shot.
Oh!
I was like, my bad, dude. I got excited. I saw Gavin Rossdale. I wanted to take pictures with him.
Damn.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and if you look at Matt's pictures, you can see one in the background, and then the next one is me, like, with my arm around him. Like, just cheesing.
Dude, I love that. And, like, once you're there hugging him, he's not going to be like, hey, Ted, get out of the picture.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Didn't you use that one on Instagram?
That was the selfie I took on stage. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But I was just like, oh, Matt, my bad.
Dude, that's mad funny. Yeah. I love little things like that.
Yeah, right.
Dude, I had one. Well, this was just, I guess, a backhanded compliment that I don't think she meant the way that it sounded, but I was on King 5 a few weeks ago or a month ago now and doing that segment, and I was over at my parents' house this weekend, and my mom's friend had seen it. And she goes, I was really impressed. I thought there's going to be a lot more ums in there.
Oh, damn.
That is a good backhanded compliment.
Yeah. I mean, like, she meant it, but damn.
She meant it all right.
You realize I talk for a living, right?
Right.
I feel a lot more ums in there.
Wow. Ouch.
Yeah, I didn't.
What do you go with?
This
Thank
one's
you?
The toughest in here because it's just us talking. But usually if a microphone's in front of me or I'm making a video for face, like, it's a little bit different than when I just see someone out in the real world. And yeah, but that one got me.
Dang. Yeah, backhanded compliments are great.
Yeah. All right, let's read this emails.
Ted, I pulled this one out of my spam folder just for you. It's so sad. I just broke up with my boyfriend. He was a bad person, and he didn't love me at all. Maybe you are different. Let's have a date today. Here is my profile.
That was in your spam? That seems wild.
Carita Turner. Yeah, usually a lot of the podcast emails go to my spam folder, and so I'll like search through, and I just saw that one. I was like, okay, cool. All right, we got a couple real ones. Cop topic. What I do that furthers my own suffering is doubting myself. I'm 22 and have recognized that I have a lot of difficulty making decisions, big and little. For example, I think I put 3 weeks of internet time into looking for a car radio, and it wasn't some crazy fancy shit. On the bigger scale, basically everything. I've been with my boyfriend for 3.5 years and can't decide if I want to be with him. Not new doubts, but like since day one. I know you guys don't like doing relationship advice, so I won't ask. Actually, we love it. We just don't. Like,
we're just not good at it.
Yeah, exactly.
You have no idea how true that is.
Yeah, we love it, though. When we get an email about relationship advice, it just feels juicy. Like, I get excited the week before. we're just also in no position. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, between the two of us, what have we been in relationships? Like, probably like 6 years altogether or something? Not much.
Yeah, I had the harsh reality of, like, I haven't been in a relationship in like 4 years.
Yeah, same. I haven't been since I was 26 or 31, so 5 years.
Yeah.
So you should definitely listen to us.
Right, exactly.
It's really an endless list of things I can't decide. Literally, right now, including if I should send this in. So, I know I need to become more confident in my decisions, but I have no clue how to start doing that. Third shift housekeeper.
Ah. I mean, I don't know. For me, I will say this. While I am obviously not great at relationships, I don't look back at them and go, man, I screwed that up. I should have stayed with that one, if that makes sense. So for me, most of them, like, you know, I can think, like, there was just a couple non-negotiable points, right? Like, one girl, we just never talked. So I couldn't see myself spending a life with somebody that we never talked out the issues.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, deal breakers.
Yeah.
Some people call them.
Right. Another girl broke up with me, and then probably my other serious one, like, I really liked her. I just don't know that I was ever in love with her.
Copy that.
Yeah.
Well, let Ted handle the relationship on that one. But I was thinking about the decision stuff because that was something I was thinking about a lot this weekend, actually. And I was just kind of thinking about how, first of all, there's a thing we talk about called paralysis analysis, where you paralyze yourself by overthinking things. And action beats inaction. And basically, when you're overthinking things, this is what I was thinking about, is like you're trying to solve problems that may or may not even exist, but you're trying to solve problems. And what you got to realize is that when you're like, most of those solutions will cause new problems that you'll have to figure out anyways. So, like, just keep going, make a decision, make sure your intentions are good. And make the decision that you think you feel the best about and run with it. And then, you know, yeah, more problems will come up. That's the game of life. That's how it works. And as you make more decisions, you'll just be more confident. Like, I still freak out about all the things that could go wrong in my life, plenty. But I also have a new set, because I've made a lot of decisions and just said, like, fuck it, I'm going for this. And, you know, just pick something and run with it to the best of my ability. Like, that's instilled a sense of confidence that, yeah, there will definitely be more problems throughout my life, more than I could ever possibly imagine. So it's a waste of time trying to imagine all of them. And then because I've taken enough action, I just feel like I'll deal with it then. So I would say, you know, check your intentions, do your best and make decisions and run with them and then just see what happens. If it doesn't work out, you'll learn from it and you'll be better suited to handle the next one. But more problems are coming.
Gotcha. I did one of the other podcasts, the Aaron Cobb Experiment. I did an episode on this. I won't beleaguer the point, but there's basically two systems that I use to make decisions. One is Jeff Bezos' regret minimization framework. You can just Google it. And then the other one is called, not rooftop deck theory. I can't think of the name of the other one. Oh, top line philosophy. And basically it's just like... It's based on the Stanford experiment that they found that we overweight the negatives in decision-making and underweight the positives. So it's like 7 positives to 2 negatives usually will balance us out feeling neutral on a decision, which is interesting. So you're overweighting the negatives most likely. Huh. And so that theory basically is based around like pick whichever decision has the highest possible upside and totally ignore the downsides and go for it. And that applies to things like, should I go check out this cool national park? Oh, but it costs a little bit of money and it's a long drive or whatever, stuff like that. So we developed it on our road trip and then we found out about the experiment that proved it. So that's what I would say. As far as a relationship, 3.5 years, I would say if you don't see yourself marrying this person, you should get out immediately.
Direct.
3.5 years, man.
Yeah, you're right.
Point,
that's a long
it's
time.
Like, you know,
shit or get off the pot.
Yeah, you
thank you. That's what I thought in my head. And I was like, how do I, like, you know, say that in a digestible way? Dude, exactly.
Digestible.
Next email. Dude had another. Title. Your boy Joey P. Dude had another fight this weekend in Spokane and won by first round TKO. Coming back from a loss is tough, but he didn't look like it. Cheers to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Jaden.
Nice. Right. I'm glad Joey's back. Got a W back.
Yeah, man.
He's a great fighter, dude. And I mean, losses happen. It's just tough for somebody that's never dealt with it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
That's why he's got some great tattoos, too. Hey, guys. Love the show. So this last week, you had me thinking about the first boobs I had ever seen on TV. And mine was in The Revenge of the Nerds. The scene where they hide cameras in the sorority house was awesome. And I got the double score of seeing my first... I've seen my first bush to compliment my first boobs. 4 exclamation points. I think I was 5 years old when I saw it. And up until I took sex ed, I thought all girls had bush, which was a funny shock in my early teen years. On another note, from the age 12 until the internet blew up, I enjoyed Shannon Tweed on late night Skinamax.
Oh, yeah.
Side note, HBO just canceled all their sexy programming.
Heard about that.
It's devastated, but I'm with you. Skinamax was awesome. My friend had it. And like Ted, I would have the volume turned down super low so I could barely hear it. But more important, I could hear if someone was coming down the hall. The young perv years. Jesse, the body.
That's awesome.
Have you guys heard about the turn of phrase they have in Australia? Having a perv. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I use it all the time.
Having a perv.
What?
Having a perv. It's like just like checking a girl out or whatever.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's a good one. Nice to hear National Penis Month continues on the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Sad I missed Cobb, but it was great seeing Ted and Matt at Payne. Gave this Cobb topic some thought on how I tend to cause my own misery and thought about the axiom I came up with. If it's worth engineering, it's worth over-engineering. In lieu of an AC unit, I have window fans in 3 of my windows with other indoor fans as climate control. I'm sensitive to smoke, so during the past fires, I installed furnace filters in my big living room and sealed off every other hole, making them the only air intake. Only problem, apparently the filters weren't designed to handle the approximate 2,000 cubic feet per minute of air the fans are capable of pulling. The filters were rated to last up to 3 months. I could see smoke coming through them in 3 days. Probably would have been simpler just to get an air conditioner. Also, gave Ted's comment on visiting Cleveland. On visiting Cleveland as a straight white male some thought. Actually wanted to visit there now. Funny thing just happened to me recently. I was talking to a black guy and some of his white friends. We were getting along right up until I said I wasn't a fan of black culture and prefer white culture to it. The friends understood, but he ended up getting so mad and violent his friends had to hold him back. Got plenty more stories along that vein, but there's a reason I moved up here with you guys. Can't wait to tune in for National Clam Month on the cast. Bacon.
What? I'm not touching that one.
What?
What's Madden?
Oh, wow. All right.
That's the soft throw to What's Madden?
Yeah.
I thought you were just like waiting for us to say something.
What's Madden?
Before we get to What's Madden.
Hey,
what's good? What's Madden?
Check out What's Madden.
Hey,
what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa.
Check out with what's maddening.
Well, I had a. We talked about Pain in the Grass. That was fucking awesome.
Awesome.
We just talked about Saturday. Friday was also great. Running around there with the dudes from Metal Shop. Those guys were like brothers to me from, you know, when I first started out here, and it was just incredible to get to take that day in with them. And we were, you know, it was like Vicky and Rev was there, and a couple, Danny and Joey from the morning show, and then me and Metal Shop. Like, that was the only part of the KISW Air staff there. And none of the, like, promotions people were there, but there was no management. So it was just kind of like the parents were out of town, and the kids were throwing a big party with Slayer headlining.
Like,
nice. We just had an awesome time. And then, yeah, this weekend, Friday, we went up to Mount Vernon to hang out at Cass's new place. Our friend Cass and her boyfriend Jeff, and they got a new place there. And, you know, just like you would expect with Cass, bunch of lights and lasers, and it was a good night. And then she made bacon-wrapped pork tenderloin that was stuffed with apple pie filling. It was unbelievable.
Sounds bomb.
Yeah. Great salad, too. They had a bunch of dressings. And then the next day, we went to go hike Oyster Dome. We got kind of a late start, but that was a great...
Oyster Dome's tight.
That was a great hike. We got up there so that, you know, when we... On the way down, that like, lookout that's maybe a little bit less than halfway up or whatever, we caught the sunset there. And then we were able to, like... It was getting pretty dark by the time we got down to the bottom. So, like, yeah. we made it at, like, the perfect last-minute times. And when we showed up, we got one of the closest parking spots. Like, probably one of the three or four closest.
How long's that hike?
Man, we thought it was going to be a lot shorter.
Depends.
Yeah.
You can also drive to within, like, 200 yards of the top, which I did not know.
Right. Yeah, there's like, a shortcut. It's not 200 yards, but maybe there
it's
is one
close.
For that, too. But there's... This one that I think WTA measured. We heard 5 miles. It did not feel like 5 miles. I think Tyler's phone said it was like 7.9. So
yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, but it was fun, man. And yeah, the forest was awesome. The clouds were awesome. The sunset, like, it was just great to take it all in. And then that was Saturday. We did that. Then we swung by to Layup on the way home to say happy birthday to Vicky. She was having her birthday
nice.
Party up there, and that was what spurred our trip up north. So we had a great day. We just kind of swung by and said hey to Vicky because, yeah, we were a little tired, but glad she was born and, you know, through that party because it got us all the way up there. We had a great time. Thanks, Vicky. Sorry we didn't get to spend as much time as we initially planned. But, yeah, that was that. And then Sunday went over to my parents, got the weirdest backhanded compliment of my life.
Yeah.
We mentioned... And, yeah, Monday we just kind of hung out, went to the locks, and watched all that happen. So it was nice to have a day off of just chilling in Ballard and just relaxing about it. And my girlfriend gave me a massage. That was really nice. So
yeah, sometimes at the end of like a long weekend, it's nice to have one. I always like to have one day to kind of just chill, do whatever.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Shut down the engines, recharge the batteries.
Yeah, for sure.
So I did it.
Nice.
That was that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, I guess it's about that time.
Boo, 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 ba doo, boo, boo. Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
So, Ted, I had you in mind on this Cobb topic. I'm interested to hear your thoughts. So, you've spoken in the past about the idea of totems, animals
Correct.
That help sort of guide you on your journey, if you will. Is that an accurate description of totems? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll let you talk about it. And anyway, so this morning I was on a run, and one creature that I've always sort of like felt like was just a little good luck omen for me, I guess, is the blue heron. And I've got a couple, but that's one like I see just rarely enough. And I feel like the blue heron teaches patience, which is something I needed greatly and have been sort of given more of the last couple of years. So anyway, the Cobb topic this week is, and you can talk a little bit about totems too, if you're interested, but do you believe in luck? And if so, what is your lucky omen? Hit us up on the email machine. For me, also, it's the number 11. I see it everywhere. Love the 11s.
Yeah, you and Barnes you've done that to me, too. I always get fired up when it's 11-11.
Hell yeah, good. 11's a great number.
Yeah, I mean, That's a tough question. Do I believe in luck?
Exactly.
I mean, I clearly do, because I do superstitious things, you know? Like, I have certain ways I'll walk to work and stuff that, like, I can't explain why. I just, like, it's like, I got to be on the same side of the street every day, you know? Or, man, I hate to tell you, sometimes I'll still flip a coin when I'm thinking about something.
Just yeah, that's actually not a bad way to make a choice, too.
Yeah.
Especially if you flip it and cover it.
So that's,
it,
yeah.
And you, like, whichever one you're hoping it is the one you really wanted, you know?
Yeah. I do that all the time. And just little things, you know what I mean? Like, will this party be fun?
Yeah. Well, and some things like are ritual almost more than luck. Like walking on the same side of the street, I feel like that's more ritual, you know?
Yeah.
Not that the two are like totally disparate. I mean, it's very similar concepts.
I'm trying to think what else. I remember once when I was like 19 or something, I remember it was like sunny outside, but it was snowing too. And I love snow. So I don't know. I always took that as like a sign. I was thinking about something. I was like, oh yeah, I can do this or that. Like I can make a living making people laugh. And I always took that as like a sign, because it's rare that you'll have sunshine and snow.
That's exactly what I mean by omens, like almost like a sign.
Yeah.
You know? So you're pro omen.
I'm pro omen.
All right. Are you going to enlighten us at all about totems or not really? Because I feel like I don't fully understand
not today.
The concept. Okay.
Sometimes.
I feel like I will just be a spiritual asshole.
Sometimes with the omens, I feel like I'm overly sensitive looking out for things that mean things that may not mean things.
Actually, they talk about that in personality psychology. People who are high in openness to experience will often, the word they use is not conflate, but they will infer meaning where there is no meaning or causation.
Right. Hindsight's 20/20 with that.
And you look and you're
like, oh, that was probably an omen, but I'm overly observant of things that I could perceive as omens, so I can't run my life like that. It would be exhausting, and I'd probably not be where I am right now. I believe that, man, I feel like I just got really lucky with how I was born, like in the time with the parents
and the
family.
Lottery.
Like that is absolutely luck. So I can't say. But I also think that in my adult life, I've worked hard and made sacrifices and choices to create my own luck and make the most of my opportunities. And I don't know where that line gets drawn, but I think you can definitely increase your luck by working hard and believing in yourself and having a good outlook on the day and stopping and being grateful for it. I feel lucky about the way I was born and the time and the location and all the quote-unquote privilege, but I also trip out on, like, the fact that I have skin and eyeballs and a nervous system, like, every single day. And that's something that, you know, so, yeah, I think we're all pretty lucky to be humans. If you're listening to this podcast, like, you're able to just pull conversations and music out of thin air. Like, that's, you know, I think we're all pretty lucky. But on a comparison person-to-person level, like, I think you can work hard and create your own luck and have a good attitude. And there's been no downside in believing that.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, my position's similar in that I don't really think there's bad omens, but I definitely appreciate good omens. And I also think another word I would introduce is grace. I feel like sometimes just, like, the universe or whatever God you want to believe in, sometimes it'll just, like, have grace on you. And there's just some moments, if you look back over the course of your life, where you're like, man, like, I don't know how that thing happened or that thing worked out, but like, phew, wow, you know, I don't know where I would be if it didn't. And so that's what I think of as grace or sometimes luck. I agree with you that working hard produces luck as well. So yeah, that's, I don't know where I stand on it in terms of, like, if I had to put money down, whether it's actually real or not, but I feel like the empowering belief that I prefer to have, the paradigm through which I view the world, if you will, is that there is luck, and typically a lot of those things are on your side.
Yeah. I mean, I believe in a certain amount of luck. I also believe in a lot of you create your own luck.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Know? And I think the more that, you know, people go out and create their own luck and, you know, go do cool shit with that mindset, people will notice and more people can adopt it and we can all just improve ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Well, what's his name? Dave Chappelle. He has that quote. Wait, oh, is it Dave Chappelle or Chris Rock. One of them was saying, like, if you're sitting there on the side of the road with a sign asking people to pull over and help you with your car, they're not going to help you. But as soon as you start pushing that car, people will always pull over and get out and help you push.
That's
and,
a strong point.
Oof. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah. I don't know if you want to consider that luck. I feel like that little parable or anecdote kind of sums up what we're talking about, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of people, I think, like me, that shy away from giving money on the street, but I happily go spend money at Fair Start.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or if somebody's selling a real change.
Real change, yeah.
Yeah, like yeah. I'll totally happily buy, you know, and if it's two, I'll give them three.
Yeah, dude, 100%.
So, all right. Well, there you go. There's episode 232. That kind of numerically works out, right? 232?
232? 232?
I'd be stoked if that was a room number at a hotel.
Right? 232? Man, you know where we at.
Man. Almond.
Let's go, boys.
Let's see. Yeah, there you go. There's episode 232 for MCTP for Cobb and me. Ted Smith is the podcast. Cheers.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.